So what does it take to be a successful entrepreneur? Do you have what it takes? Do you have drive and passion and desire, but you just don't know how to put it all together? Well, we have got the show for you. Join Daniel O'Griggs. Each week, he's going to break it down. Daniel's going to show you how to go from A all the way to Z. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O'Griggs.
All right, people, look, I know the show is about entrepreneurship. Of course, that's what I make the show about. But let me tell you entrepreneurs something. If you know someone that works a 9-to-5 or whatever their hours may be, they're not an entrepreneur, quit telling them to own their own business. Quit telling them to drop everything they're doing and be an entrepreneur or work on their own business or anything like that. Yeah. You can miss me with the only way to have the optimum wealth or ultimate wealth or whatever you want to call it is to have your own, which is true. I completely agree with. But this is what you got to understand. It's about happiness. If you're an entrepreneur, if you own your own business or whatever you do, or even if you don't, it's about being happy with what you do the majority of your day. If someone works 8, 9, 10 hours a day, 5 times out of the week, look, if you're happy doing what you're doing, keep doing it. Don't let anybody try to change your mindset toward, hey, you're not getting what you're worth or whatever it may be, which could be the case. But at the end of the day, it's about happiness. If you have a family and you like the hours that you work, it's centered toward, hey, I can get off and pick my kids up, or I can take my kids to school. Or, even if you don't have a family, I got a social life. I can hang out with friends. I can hang out with my significant other or whatever it may be. Don't change that on the perspective of someone that has their own business and saying what you need to do. Because here's the deal. And I know I mention it a lot. Most small businesses still fail. 8 out of 10 small businesses still fail. That means most entrepreneurs are failures, or soon to be failures, if you want to put it that way. But regardless of any of that, and I know we can say entrepreneurship is something some people say it's something you have to be born with. Some people believe it's something that you can teach yourself or whatever it may be. But this is all I'm saying. Regardless of your position, regardless of if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an employer or if you're an employee, regardless, it's really based on your happiness, because what you do to pay bills, to pay rent, to pay your car note and do whatever else you want to do, you work on that majority of your day, majority of the week. If you work somewhere, you're working 8, 9, 10 hours, 5 times out of the week, maybe 6 times out of the week. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the line of work you do, maybe you work a month or 2 weeks straight or something like that and got days off. Regardless, you work for somebody, yeah, you show up on when they tell you to show up, etc. If you're happy with that, fine. If you're not, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be an entrepreneur. Maybe you just need to find a better job that better suits you. And if you just can't stand someone telling you when to go in or whatever it may be, then maybe you do need to be an entrepreneur and fall into the entrepreneurship world. That was my case. That's what happened with me. I've spoke about it so many times. I was working at Walgreens. I hated it like death. I got tired of going in every single day. I was like, man, I got to get out of here. So that was my case. I was unhappy. Like literally, I was unhappy. So that was the case for me. And so I didn't try to go get another job, because for me, in my mindset, I was like, look, I'm not trying to have anybody else tell me what to do, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it was because I was working real estate. I don't know. But for me, it was like, I have to do what's going to make me happy. Even when I was playing football, I was broke most of the time playing football. If you know anything about sports and you're trying to chase that dream, make it to the NFL, NBA, even if you're a track athlete or whatever the sport may be, you have to play in some smaller leagues. You got to continue to play. You got to build up your resume, et cetera, et cetera. So it takes time, man. And it's a tough struggle. Now, here I am today and I have a lot of success. Definitely well off, definitely comfortable. But it took a lot to get to this point. And if you're an entrepreneur, you need to understand something as well. Most people, you need to go work for someone, because it's really tough working for yourself. And it's really tough depending on yourself. It's really hard to say, look, every single thing that I do, every piece of cash that I bring in, all the money that goes into my bank account is 110% dependent on me. That's tough. And it's really hard to do. So quit telling people that work a 9-to-5 that you need to have your own or what have you. Not saying that you, I'll put it like this. Don't tell someone that without first asking and recognizing their level of happiness. Once you recognize and know their level of happiness, then you can kind of say, well, maybe you need to own your own business because you've been to this job, you've been to this job, you hate it, you always got a problem with your boss or authority or whatever it may be. You probably should own your own. Maybe you got that DNA in you. But in the same time, if you know an entrepreneur and they don't want to change and they've been failing for a really long time, now I know you can grind and don't give up. And I'm not telling anybody to give up, but you just need to know what works for you. If you've been unhappy for 20 years, like if you're doing something, you got a business and you've been happy for 20 years and you've been grinding and trying to make this thing work, I'm not going to be one to tell you to give up. But if you're unhappy and you're always stressful and it's tearing up every single relationship that you get and nothing works out, blah, 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 then maybe you need to reconsider some things. Maybe you got to come back to it. I don't know. I don't want to be the one to make that choice for you. But anyways, look, that was my snippet. That took up almost half the show. But look, this is Daniel O'Griggs. You're listening to The Inspired Daily Grind. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We're still on our 17 questions to ask yourself as an entrepreneur. I think we're on question number 12 today. We got 17 to get through. Maybe we get through all of them today. Maybe not. But look, we'll go into them anyways. We're going to hop straight in on number 12. Let me see. Yeah, number 12. Here we go. Am I offering a vitamin or painkiller? While valuable, no one wakes up in the morning craving a vitamin. Conversely, painkillers address an immediate and important need. Selling vitamins requires establishing the need first. Selling painkillers merely requires the presentation of a solution. In which category does your product or service reside? Man, I love this question. Now, they're giving, you know, an example right here when they're talking about the painkillers and vitamins. In other words, if you have an idea or if you have a business or product, to put it straightforward, do you have to create a sale or is the sale already there and you just have to like tell them the solution? Like a lot of people are trying to reinvent the wheel, or maybe you do something that it's already a problem and you have a solution for, but you're not explaining it well. But that's a different story. But anyways, look, whatever your product is, or whatever your service is it something that's already a problem, like a well-known problem, an easy problem? Just like they're talking about here, like vitamins are good for you. Everyone knows that if they probably take vitamins, they'll probably be more healthy. But it's a lot more explaining to do. Like you don't wake up in the morning and be like, oh man, where are my vitamins at? Maybe some people do, but most and majority of people don't. But if you wake up in the morning with some pain and you're not feeling well, or if you have a headache or something like that, then you'll wake up and be like, I need some Advil, I need some ibuprofen, I need some kind of painkiller, I need something that's going to take this pain away. So something that needs like an immediate need, or yeah, pretty much an immediate need. Vitamins is something that's like you're being proactive. And just, I mean, I hate to say it, but most people are not proactive in our world. So it's going to be really hard to sell them something like that. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I just want you to think and understand and know, like, look, this is something that I'm really have to present to people for them to buy into, as opposed to, hey, this is already a problem. I just need to tell them why mine's is better than the competitors or something like that. So a lot of people really think about that, especially you people out here developing apps. A lot of people develop an app and you have a conversation with yourself, or if you got a partner or something, be like, oh, why wouldn't people want to buy this? Everyone has these problems, right? So let's go along with the vitamin deal. People need vitamins. It's going to make them more healthy. It'll give them more energy, quality life, may even prolong their life, blah, 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 blah. You got to sell that to somebody. You have to really sell it. Like that's like a PowerPoint presentation type of I need to sell this to you, right? But when you're talking about something in regards to a painkiller, it's like, look, this is a problem that everybody's going to experience at some point in some time in their life, rather be on a small scale or a large scale. This is the solution that I have. There are competitors out there that have solutions, but this is my solution. This is why it's better, as opposed to this is why you should do it. It's you're thinking about like, okay, this is why it's better than my competitors, etc. So if you got a product, if you got a service, definitely think about that. Is this something that's a problem, well-known problem that people really need? Or is this something that I'm gonna have to sell to them? Whichever one it is, just understand and know that it's gonna take a lot more effort or a lot less effort to be able to sell it. All right, question number 13, what's my cash requirement? What resources will you need to purchase to be successful? Whatever you just estimated, triple it. How long will it take to start bringing in significant revenue? Whatever you just said, quadruple it. This one right here, this is how you can take this question in a couple different ways, but this is how I'm going to take it. Whatever you need for overhead perspective, like what resources will you need to purchase to be successful? So if you have, let's say you have a product and you need manufacturing for it, like do you have to purchase a whole bunch of things up front? Now the pressure's on your back to be able to sell it all. Every single time I think about having to purchase something like a product, specifically a product up front and having to sell it all, you know what comes to my mind? What's the daggum movie by Will Smith? Pursuit of Happiness. That's what it is. He bought all of these deals. He was excited about it and it ruined his life. He invested in it. That's what he felt like he needed to purchase to do to be successful. He figured, hey, everyone needs these, all of these. I think it's like doctors or medical companies or whoever need these. And it ended up ruining his life and tore up his marriage. Him and his son was like homeless, all types of stuff. So think about me, not saying it's going to be to that extent, but look, what resources do you need to purchase to be successful? Do you have to have overhead? Do you have to have an office? Or can you, you know, only maybe rent out an office or a conference room or something like that on a need be basis? A lot of people got to put this stuff into consideration, especially, I'm going to really talk to these, especially if you're given the funds. Like if you have someone that's invested in your company or you raise X amount of dollars, you get this money and you immediately think, oh, I'm already successful. I just raised $1.2 million in X amount of time. I have these investors, blah, 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 blah. First thing is you owe people money at that point. Really dangerous. You owe people money. You got other people's money in your hands. All right. So a lot of people will get all of this money. And trust me, I know this because I work with them so many times. I work with so many people that are I work with so many people that have these startups and they have a lot of people they have these investors that invest in a company. They get all this money or they raise all this money and they immediately start just spending like they just start splurging on different forms of marketing and buying up office space. And one of the huge things is just buying huge teams. Like, oh, I'm going to get a project manager. I'm going to get a sales team. I'm going to get this and blah, 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 blah. But they don't have systems in place. Like all of these are cash requirements. And I know this kind of getting not off subject, but this kind of like extending it a little bit. They're spending a lot of money that they don't need. And so they're spending all this money that they don't need. And then when times get tough, they don't have a system set. And that's how it ended up failing really quick. But they feel like they have success because they raised X amount of money. But they didn't bring in any money. They just raised money. You know what I mean? So, and we'll go back to the cash requirement part. You know, how long will it take to start bringing in significant revenue? That's huge. And it stays on those that raise money and have investors that come up with it. Like, if you raise $1.2 million, how long is it going to take for me to make sales, actual sales, not some seed fund or whatever hell else it could be? How long is it going to take for me to make money? How long is it going to take for me to get sales and raise back, or not raise back, but make back this $1.2 million plus profit? Like, that's $1.2 million that you make to get your investors' money back. Then you have to make money to pay whomever it is you have working for you or whatever overhead cost that it is that you have. Like, you got, because those are ongoing things. Like, you have to continue to make a significant, that's why it says start bringing in significant revenue. Like, it's a whole, like, it's a whole nother level to it. So when you're thinking about cash that you have to have and all these things that you got to do just with starting a business, running this business and continuing to do it, you got to put these things into perspective. Be practical about it. That's why it says, you know, from the resources will you need to purchase to be successful. Whatever you estimate it, triple it. How long will it take to start bringing in significant revenue? Whatever you just said, quadruple it. Like, literally do that. Verbatim. Do it to the T. We just, you know, it's going to cost us X amount times three. X is going to take us X amount to bring in significant revenue times four. So really take this to heart when you're talking about, even if you have your own business right now and you're thinking about bringing in an investor or whatever it may be, really take that to heart. All right, quick, there's question 13, question number 14. What's my burn rate and runaway? Burn rate is the amount of cash you consume every month to keep the doors open. Runaway is the amount of cash on hand divided by your burn rate, which is usually stated in months. A frequent mistake is underestimating cash needs and overestimating sales opportunities. This deadly combination spells an end to more than its fair share of startups. Man, that's huge with startups. And this goes into, look, it ties into the previous question. Well, I kind of extended it out to this question, but when you're putting everything together and you have to think about the amount of cash that you have to bring in just to pay for everything, this isn't profit. This is just gross money that you bring in to put back out. Okay, so we'll keep the numbers low. So let's say you bring in $1,000. You have to pay, you got a total of five people working for you. We'll say you have to pay them $100 each because we keep the numbers low. $100 each. So that's $500 already gone. You have to pay $200 for overhead. Maybe you got a thing in manufacturing. Maybe you got, I don't know, an office or whatever it may be. That's $200. All right, now you only got, what is that, $300 left now? So you got $300 left out of this $1,000 that you've made. Maybe you have to do some form of marketing, and that's another $100 you put into it. Now you got $200 net profit, 20% net profit, right? So this is cash that you have on hand that's sitting inside your bank account. Like, is that enough to be able to push you through? If something happens, if anything takes place and you need to take part of that 200 or all of that 200 and put it towards something, like, are you able to do it? Let's not forget too, if you have a startup, depending on if you bootstrap it or investor or whatever it may be, really it doesn't matter the situation, paying yourself as well. Like, how much are you going to pay yourself? Don't be greedy. I'll tell you that off rip. Like, don't be greedy. Whatever you're going to pay yourself, don't go into the mode of just paying yourself more than what you need to just because you feel like the cash or the money is there. You know what I mean? Are you going to stay liquid with everything or whatever it may be? So, like, don't underestimate or don't actually confuse the fact of we gross $1.2 million in sales. And so we're fine. We're all right. Like, if you watch Shark Tank, I love watching Shark Tank. I love watching The Profit with Marcus Lemonis. And you hear people all the time say, like, oh, we gross X amount in sales, like $1.2 million in sales or $5 million in sales or whatever it may be. Millions in sales. This is gross. This isn't net profit. Like, this isn't money that they're taking and they just have it sitting in a bank account on a monthly basis. No, they have to pay pay employees. They have to pay overhead fees. They have to pay for marketing. They have to pay bookkeepers. They have to pay all this other stuff. They have to pay themselves as well, which a lot of them pay themselves way too much. You know what I mean? So these are things that you really have to think about and heavily take into consideration. You heavily have to take this into consideration, because when you start making this money and you start paying all of your people and paying everybody else that you need to pay to make sure your business is running, and then you're looking and you say, oh, man, like, how much money do I have left over? How much money do I have left to pay myself? Or if you have already paid yourself, how much more money do I have in the bank account to, if anything happens, I have money in my account to take care of that. Maybe you're doing a form of marketing that's working really well, that's going doing great. And you spent your marketing dollars that you usually spend for the month, but it's like, hey, we should put more money towards this because it can probably make us a lot more money. Do you have the money to be able to do that? So this is something to heavily take into consideration as well. I mean, all these questions, but I really like that. A lot of people, they do. They underestimate and they overestimate both of these things. And so it's something that, you know, you really have to think about. You really have to take into consideration and put into perspective. All right, question number 15. Where can I turn for mentorship and advice? There are lots of people who have done some aspect of what you're trying to achieve. They have the scars and stories to prove it. Learning from their mistakes and getting sound outside counsel will be a critical component to your success. Where are those people and can you access them? Now, this is something that I love this one. This is going to take the rest of the show. So check this out. I'll give myself, for example, I was fortunate to be able to have a mentor, Tim Randall, REIClub.com. I'm going to call him out. That's my business mentor right there. Dude is a huge part of my success, a massive part of my success. Thank God for this man all the time. Look, I was a personal trainer at the time. I was actually training his son. And he reached out to me and was like, hey, I'll help you build your business. I presented to him three different businesses. Like, I'm a personal trainer. At the time, I had this athletic apparel company also. And I want to do web design. He told me, look, choose one. Be great at one thing. You come back and do these other ones, but you need to know how to like actually grow a business and just focus on one thing and bring in a lot of money and have a lot of success with that one. Once you figure out one, you'll figure out how to do the rest of them. So I was like, all right, cool. Clearly and evidently, I chose web design route. Okay, so this is a situation to where I was in a position to where I was training someone and, you know, their child. And I guess he's seen, you know, my drive and everything. And he extended out to mentor me, which is I'm extremely grateful for. That's one. There's another guy, Daryl. I had Daryl on the show, Daryl Stevens, Digitech Web Design here in Austin as well. Had him on the show. Definitely go and check out his podcast. I think I forgot what it's called. But I'll link it. I'll link it if you're on danielogriggs.com. I'll link it on this podcast. But yeah, I reached out to him, man, as I say plenty of times. We were complete strangers. I'm talking about a blade of grass on an acre land. Like, didn't know each other from a blade of grass on acre land. I just reached out to him, called him up. My mentor, Tim, the one that told me to just like reach out to somebody in the web design industry, get some advice from them. So I did that with Daryl. And he was all open arms, man. I mean, we connected really well. I called him like I was a potential client or something like that. Told him, hey, at the time, look, I'm a freelance web designer, man. I'm trying to grow and have an actual agency. Would love to hear your story. I didn't say, hey, give me advice. I want everything you know. You know, I was just like, look, I love to hear your story. Whatever else he was willing to extend and give me, I was appreciative of. I was going to be appreciative of it regardless. So it's like, yeah, great. I told him, look, I invited him to lunch. Let's do it. This guy, we go to lunch. We went to Chipotle. I love Chipotle. But anyways, we went to Chipotle. This guy bought my lunch. That was crazy. I asked him out, getting advice from him. But you know what he told me? He said, Daniel, this is the exact same thing you're doing, I did. And someone extended out to me just like I'm doing to you. And man, that like changed. I'm going to say changed my life because it grew my business like. He told me it's going to grow your business like times 10. And it did. I implemented everything that he did along with everything that Tim taught me. And it was just huge for me. So what I'm telling you is, in regards to mentorship and advice, reach out to someone random. Now, you can reach out to someone that you just know that just has any type of more success than you have. Because you can learn from others that's doing things wrong. Especially as long as they know they've done things wrong. In regards to like bad business decisions that they made. It's great if you can find someone that's in the same industry, but if not, business is business. Learn from them. If they have true success, they'll tell you their failures as well as their successes. So definitely just reach out to someone. I had that, I'll tag this as well. I spoke at Capital Factory, downtown Austin, Texas, And I had someone mention about mentorship, and I said, anybody that's more successful than you, reach out to them. If you want to put it from a numbers perspective, if they've grossed $100,000 and you've only grossed $40,000 or $50,000 or even $70,000, reach out to them because they had more success than you already. And just ask for, and don't just say, what's your story? Like, what are some obstacles that you've run into? Sometimes you can help out one another. You know what I mean? So it goes both ways. I love this question. Mentorship has been huge for me. I continue to speak with others that's had more success than me, or we've had the same amount of success, but we've had different, you know, different challenges within our business. It's always great to get perspectives from people like that. It's always great to hear from them and really just hear their story, the challenges they've had, and you can relay and you can get a lot of great information from one another. I told you we'd end on that question, and we did. Thanks for tuning in. This is Daniel Griggs, The Inspired Daily Grind. Check me out, my company, ATXWebDesigns.com. You can go there and view that. If you want to listen to more of the podcast, go to iHeartRadio, search for Inspired Daily Grind, or go search DanielOGriggs.com, or you can find us on iTunes, The Inspired Daily Grind. Thanks for tuning in. Chat with you next week.
Join Daniel next week as he takes you through another walk of how to become a very successful entrepreneur. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O'Griggs.